All right, this morning we're looking at somebody in Baptist history, and a great man, a man that was a very powerful scholar and preacher, and he has a very difficult name. His name is Balthazar Hubmaier. So we've mentioned his name before and talked about him, but Hubmaier is a name to remember in Baptist history. And he was born in Bavaria in 1480. He entered the priesthood and began to study philosophy and theology under a priest by the name of Eck, who was the great antagonist, or would become the great antagonist of Martin Luther later. But in spite of this, he, as he studied his Bible, he also got a hold of some of Luther's writings, and he was saved in 1522. In that same year, he was married. And he was drawn to the Swiss reformers, and so he became friends with Zwingli, and assisted him in the great debate. You may or may not remember, we talked about this, the great debate that Zwingli had in Zurich with the Catholics, and he participated with Zwingli in that debate, and because of that was in 1523. They became the closest and warmest of friends. But as Hubmaier studied his Bible, and he was a great scholar, he soon discovered or realized that the Reformation in Zurich was not following the Bible. It was not going back to the biblical model. And he gradually and deliberately began embracing Baptist principles, and specifically Anabaptist principles that were in the area and being taught. And this caused a great rupture in the friendship between him and Zwingli, who was not as honest with himself, and Zwingli ignored a lot of scripture and continued to support the state church and infant baptism and many things that scripture does not teach. But Hubmaier eventually formed an Anabaptist church. He baptized more than 300 of his former hearers that were in his ministry. And as I said earlier, he was a very powerful preacher, and he preached in the open air, and really what happened was the population soon became largely Baptist as he preached and led people to the Lord. But this would cause a problem, because as he became more and more popular, it attracted the attention of both the Reformers and the Catholic Church, and he was soon arrested and cast into dungeon, and he lay there for 4 months. During those 4 months, he appealed to Zwingli, he appealed to the emperor, he appealed to the Zurich council, but that was all in vain. His health was broken. His wife also was in prison with him. She was a godly woman. And they lay in a dungeon with more than 20 others. There was no light from the sun or the moon for these 4 months. Bread and water were their only nourishment. But if you can imagine, many times they couldn't eat for days, because they were shut up with the dead. As people died, they just left them there, and the sickening odors in that place really didn't make for any appetite, and so many times they didn't eat for days and days. And really the only hope of escape was either death or recanting. And so the Zurich Inquisition used all methods possible to get this very popular preacher to recant. They sent dozens of scholars of his former friends and teachers and students into the prison to try to get him to recant. They used the rack and torture to get him into a very weakened condition, to get him to recant. And eventually he agreed to recant on some points. In his words, he said, "They compelled or sought to compel me, a sick man just risen from a bed of death, hunted, exiled, and having lost all that I had, to teach another faith." And so the big day came when they were going to get him to publicly recant his faith. They led him to a church. Actually, Zwingli preached the first sermon, where he preached against the Anabaptist heretics. And then Hubmaier, very weak, broken, very meek, he climbed into the pulpit and he began to read his recantation in a weak and very, you know, shaky voice. It says, as he swayed to and fro in weakness, he said, suddenly he had been praying, and he was strengthened by the power of God immediately, and he raised himself to his full height and filled the great cathedral with a shout, "Infant baptism is not of God, and men must be baptized after they are saved by faith in Christ. Well, this was like a mob scene. The church just exploded in people crying out, some agreeing, some disagreeing. The crowd surged towards the front. He was dragged from the pulpit through all those people and thrown back into the dungeon. And then on March 10th, 1528, he was led to his death. One author says, with his heart fixed on the truth which he found in Christ and his word. And he was, as he was led to the place of execution, his wife also imprisoned. She was brought along, and she exhorted him to be strong and faithful. They stripped him of his clothing. The executioner rubbed sulfur and gunpowder into his very long beard so that would catch fire quickly. And you know, he cried out at one point, "Oh my gracious God, grant me grace in my great suffering." And then he did something very interesting. He turned to the people, and he began to ask for forgiveness if he had offended anyone, if anyone had ill against him. And then he forgave his enemies, the people that had brought him here, and forgave them by name one by one. And then they lit the fire. And of course, his hair and his beard caught fire immediately, and it said he cried out, "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, help me." And then actually the executioner had done him a favor, I think, because that smoke from his beard suffocated him very quickly, so he didn't have to feel much pain, and he died. 3 days later, his wife would join him in the presence of the Lord as they again, I've mentioned this, but they didn't burn women. They had standards, and they drowned the women, and so she was, a great rock was put around her neck. She was thrown off the bridge into the Danube River where she drowned 3 days later. And so they both were in the presence of the Lord very quickly. And, you know, these are this is a great, great man of God, and very short. You know, you think these men are older and have had a life of great, but actually this man was saved for about 6 years. He was in his mid-40s when he was executed. And, you know, we think about how maybe rough our lives are, how we go through a certain amount of persecution. And it's good to be reminded of these godly men and women who paid the ultimate price and sealed their faith in blood. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for Balthasar Hubmeier and his wife and their faith.